I have to say I have a lot more faith in Granit Xhaka than I do in my technology. This is take 10 of the live show. Luckily, there we go, it's going to glitch. I can hear it's going to glitch, but it's been glitching like crazy, and maybe some people are pleased about that, because I had somebody, a listener, said to me, do you realise that music you're playing and what it signifies? And I said, not really. I said, to me, it's an Arsenal song. And he said, well, it's not just an Arsenal song. There's far more to it than that. So it has been brought to my attention, and there's no sort of religious connotations with this song. As far as I'm concerned, it is what it is. And to me, the first time I ever heard it, it was The Boys from Highbury. That is the melody to me. It's got, I don't know, some connection with Georgia. But, you know, what should we do? If someone else has got a theme song that they'd like us to play instead, but it's got to be an original composition, as it were, or old enough for it to escape copyright laws. And the reason I use that song is because I had to hastily cobble it together, and that's my excuse, really. And for me, that took a superhuman effort, because I haven't really got a proper studio set up, as many people will testify after hearing me go on and on with my 10th take, the live version, which is actually recorded. Not this bit now, but the bit that's coming is recorded on a Friday. So it's post-Palace, pre-Magpies. And, you know, because I've written it 10 times, I've actually missed the S out this time. Sorry about that, proofreaders. Anyway, thank God it's Saturday, recorded on a day when it should have been. Thank God it's Friday. Thank George. Thank George Graham. Thank George Armstrong. Thank all the Charlie Georges of the world, if, in fact, this works this time. I think this is the 10th time of asking. Here we go. This was pre-recorded yesterday. Okay, and the good news is we've got Alex. We've got Alex on a Friday. Now renaming the show, Alex, just in case you don't know. We're renaming the show Thank George It's Friday. George obviously has lots of meaning. Thank George It's Friday, because, you know, Charlie George, George Graham's a bit old school, I know. George Armstrong. So it sounds very 70s. Very 70s now, very 80s, and a little bit 90s. If you think of any other Georges, I was thinking about calling it Thank, can't even think of his name now. Thank Genduzi, It's Friday, but that feels like it's not going to quite work. So anyway, you don't think he's going to come back to Arsenal on that note? I mean, not obviously.
Well, it depends. I think if that's Bridges, I think he wants to sort of foster a career somewhere else. And I think it'll be a bit of a show of weakness from Arteta if he brings him back, maybe. Unless he comes back with a new attitude. Obviously, you never really know, do you, what goes on in the training ground. You only have, like, rumours and whatever else, but I can't see it happening personally.
Yeah. He seems very much in the Ozil camp. And talking of Ozil, before we get to Palace, it sounds like a little bit more chance he's going to move, or is it just agent talk, do you think?
Well, might be painful. I've certainly got fingers crossed, toes crossed, everything crossed that he goes. I think supposedly he's come out recently and said, oh, it's not about the money, like, you can leave, you can have 7 million of new wages. And I think he's owed, if they buy out his contract, he's owed about 9 or 10. So, you know, if that's true, fair enough. You have to question, well, is the fact that he's doing this now, you know, it could be a bit of a PR stunt, I don't know. But hey, look, if he goes, happy days. Like, I think he needs a fresh start. We need a fresh start away from him. So I think it'd be best for all involved, really. And I think as well, we can all move on. Because, the amount of questions that Arteta gets in those press briefings, about Ozil. And I think it's just time everyone moves on. So, fingers crossed it happens. And, good luck to him. He's a very good player that didn't perform consistently enough for me to be a true Arsenal legend. There's no denying Mel's ability. I think management plays a bit into it as well. I think attitude as well. But, he's done great things at most clubs that he's been at. I think maybe he will look at his time at Arsenal. He didn't do more in terms of what he won. But I think, you know, when he came to Arsenal, he was expected to be the man, the focal point, you know, Madrid.
Yeah, Madrid, you were saying. I think Alex has gone. Oh, you're back, Alex. You're back. You disappeared temporarily. So you were saying about Madrid. That was the last we got. Alex?
Yes, mate.
It seems to be the word Madrid makes you cut off. It's the weirdest thing ever. So don't say the word Madrid. If you say Madrid,
I think
you get cut. Yeah, it seems like.
I just felt at Madrid, he was surrounded by greatness. Mm. You know, Ronaldo, Benzema, people like that. And, you know, at Arsenal, he wasn't. He had to be the main man. I just don't think he had it in him, really. Well, on to the Palace. I watched the game. I woke up at 4 o'clock, my time, to watch it. I wish I hadn't, really. It was pretty drab. Arsenal never got started. Like, I think, yeah, Palace will be happy with a draw. They came to sit back and, you know, they did, and try and hit us on the counter. So they had a few chances. I think they hit the woodwork. It's a pretty drab game, to be honest. Like, it needed a goal to sort of liven it up. It was just poor. You know, I don't think anyone, yeah, we tried, but we just looked a bit flat, really.
Yeah, Arteta admitted as much. He said the energy levels weren't there, or words to that effect. Is that what you thought was missing? Obviously, Tierney was missing as well.
Yeah, I think it's amazing how much of a difference one player can make, isn't it? I think Maitland-Niles came in, and I've been pushing for Maitland-Niles to get a few more game time, but he looked rusty. You know, he looked like he hadn't played in 4 months. His passing was off. And of course, you know, he's not going to offer, attacking-wise anyway, what Tierney does offer. And I think most of our attacking play came down the right. And I don't think Bellerin was particularly effective. We looked a bit toothless. Lacazette, I felt sorry for Lacazette, like he got little to no service. There was one chance where Smith-Rowe played all right. I think, it was one of those, if Smith-Rowe doesn't play well, then I think Arsenal struggle.
Yeah, it's independent.
Yeah, for me, reinforces the fact that we need another 10. Because I don't think we can rely on one player, especially someone as young as Smith-Rowe, who's going to have ups and downs, which is what you expect with a young player. Mm. I thought he played all right. I don't think he played bad, but I don't think he was particularly good. And I think, you know, Palace, what they did very well is they stopped him getting the ball. You know, he likes to operate between the lines in those little pockets, and he didn't manage to do that particularly effectively against Palace.
Do you think did Palace have a game plan to snuff him out, do you think?
Oh, yeah, yes, for sure. And Arsenal couldn't sort of counter-track. Yeah. Well, they would have known that if you stop... Yeah, Arsenal's upturn in fortunes has been since we've started playing with a 10. I think that's been a massive help. Mm. And of course, the personnel. But I think the formation change has made a difference as well. And then, yeah, they had a plan. They played 4-5-1 or 4-3-3. So, for large parts of the game. Like, yeah, they Palace, you know, Roy Hodgson can be proud. I think they came for a draw and they certainly deserved it. Mm. I don't think they deserved to win, but... Yeah, like there's a couple of chances. I think there's one in the first half where Smith-Rowe kind of got in behind the left back and put across, and Bellerin got in the way and almost took it off Lacazette's feet, and kind of just like, we just looked flat. And I can understand why we're tired, you know, after the Christmas break. It wasn't our best performance, but you know. Yeah, there's a reason why no team has won 4 games on the bounce in the Premier League this season. So I didn't expect Arsenal to be that deep, really, if I'm honest. But, I think it just reinforces our need for a 10. And, you know, we'll go again. We really need to win against Newcastle on Monday.
And what about Partey? He came on as a sub?
Yeah, he came. He looked right. He didn't have much time to do anything. Talking of subs, I would like to Like, he came on pretty early on in the second half. A good 30 minutes to go, did nothing. Absolutely nothing. He was shocking. I was surprised at how bad he was. Like, he was awful. He was a real disappointment. And, you know, this is a player that's obviously wanted to try and sort of get a starting place in the team. You know, definitely not on that performance. Like, he offered nothing. And, you know, he doesn't seem to fit how the team plays almost. I got that feeling that there was a bit of, yeah, it's hard to explain, but, yeah, he just doesn't seem to fit how the team plays. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we sell him on in the, maybe not January, but possibly this summer.
I thought it was, like, did you see some of the comments about Wilfried Zaha? How people, I think Emery was saying, and I mean, that's not a good lead up. Like, they were saying almost, reading between the lines, they were saying Zaha would have been better, a better signing than Pepe, reading between the lines. They didn't actually say that, but I found that if I was Pepe, I wouldn't be pissed about that. I still think Pepe's a better player.
If I was Pepe, I'd be thinking about that,
yeah,
and then I'll do something about.
Yeah, I agree. I think
it just didn't look like it was coming.
He seems a bit of a sulker to me. I love Pepe, you know that, but I think he's mentally a bit of a sulker.
Yeah, he is.
Because he's so talented. The guy is just so talented to me. He's far more talented. Zaha's talented, but different level. It's, to me, Palace fans hate me for saying that, and let them hate me, because to me, Pepe's technically a better footballer than Zaha, but they won't have it. And as you rightly said, this year
he hasn't shown it at Arsenal. He's shown it glimpses.
Had Pepe not been in the team, I don't think Arsenal would have reached the FA Cup final without Pepe's contribution. That's all I'm saying. But then you could argue if Zaha joined Arsenal, he's an Arsenal fan apparently, he would have done a better job. His heart would be in it. He would certainly, like, from a mental perspective, I'd have to say, based on what I know, which is limited, I'd say Zaha's more than got the edge there, because he's in the Premier League already. Wouldn't have needed time to break down, but he would have cost a lot more money. And I thought he was just overpriced. Talking of overpriced, you've heard about
But you say that, how much did we pay for? We paid our club record for Pepe.
Yeah, but they wanted more than
72 million.
They wanted nearer.
How much did they want?
I think it was 90 million. So 20 million more than Pepe. To me, no, I would have said a definite no. I mean, there was talk of 100 million, but 100 million is what they're talking about for that. What's his name again? The Villa playmaker. Would you spend that on? Yeah. Would you pay that for Grealish?
Probably not. No, I think that's quite related. I think in this market, I think that's almost designed to scare people off more than anything else, isn't it?
I'm not a huge fan of, even though I've seen him play well this season, I have to admit, which is something new, because in previous seasons, I thought, if he's so good, why Villa nearly went down last season with this amazing playmaker in the team. So if he's such a great captain, you know, I don't want to start taking the moral high ground. I think that's never a thing to do. But, you know, some of the things that have happened outside off the pitch not been great with Grealish as well. I just don't think he's going to add anything. I'll take Smith Rowe over Grealish any day of the week. And that's not just because he's playing well lately. I just think, I'm not saying he's a better player. I'm not saying that. But he's got a better attitude. And you know who Smith Rowe reminds me of? I don't know what you think. Because, you know, I'm still upset about what one of the pundits said about him not being a flair player. I thought, where are you coming from? Who said that? Was that Hargreaves? I mean, Hargreaves said it. But yeah, that really upset me. And I started thinking, who does he remind me of, though? He is different. And I thought the player he most reminds me of is Paul Merson, actually, the way he plays. What are your thoughts? Does he remind you of anyone of the past? Or is he just unique?
Like he's sort of a bit dogged, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think Merce was a bit of the same. I can see the similarities, certainly, between those two. Yeah, I can see that. I wouldn't say, I think, obviously Arsenal need an upgrade. grade. Like, I don't think we can put all of our faith in a 19-year-old.
Yeah, I do.
And, you know, I think we have to sort of be realistic. You know, it's still a learning curve for him. He's not going to deliver the goods every game. So we have to be sort of realistic with him. With Zaha, we have to look at how Pepe's performed. You know, what Zaha done in the last year and a half? Has he done more than Pepe? Probably, arguably so. Mm. You know, I know he's had more games, but, you know, we did pay $72 million for him.
Mm.
I don't think we've got anywhere near value for money for him.
No,
He had a half. He had a good start. He had a good start to his career. I can't argue with that. You know, last year, his first season was fine. His first season was absolutely fine. Didn't uproot any trees, but it was all right. It was what you hope for.
Wait, we lost you, Alex. You were saying what you'd hope for. And I'll fill in, it's like a gap fill exercise. I'm going to say, you were going to say, Alex, while we reconnect, because this is a poor network connection. I'm not sure if it's on my side or Alex's, but as you know, I can put three, somebody once said, or would it be one of the other four nations? Not sure. I totally forgot now. I was doing a gap fill saying, we'll fill in the gaps about Emil Smith Rowe, and I think we're in danger of not recovering this call. But in the meantime, I'll talk about other things. You've returned. You were away for about a minute there, so we missed everything that you said for the last minute. But I just carried on talking, hoping you'd come back. So I was trying to gap fill. You said Emil Smith Rowe something something something, and then it was gone. So I don't know if you want to continue that. Wait, seems like you've gone again. Okay, so in that case, I'll change the subject here and talk about, what should we talk about? William Saliba, I'm hearing mixed messages about how his loan spell is going. I have heard that William Saliba's, I'm not sure if you can even hear me, Alex. We're still connected, but people out there can hear me. But William Saliba, we're getting mixed messages. We're hearing he's having nightmare performances, and then he gets a Man of the Match award. And yet, in the press, in some sections of the press, they were slamming him for two nightmare performances, so they can't have it always. Man of the Match and yet a nightmare. That's pretty weird by anyone's standards. Okay, so I'm not sure. Alex is still trying desperately to connect. In the meantime, I'll carry on talking Arsenal. What else do I need to say? Yeah, on the William Saliba thing, he's gone completely. We'll probably call back, so I'll just keep talking while we wait. Let's see what the Mirror said about. We like all these different sounds all at once, but let's take that one, shall we? All right. Alex, I believe you're with us now. Right. Alex, I moved on to William Saliba because I think we did already talk about Smith Rowe a fair bit. William Saliba, did you hear about him having two nightmares? And yet, so at the first game, he had a debut to forget, according to the Mirror, picking up a yellow card in a 2-0 defeat. And then the next game was a draw, I believe. And he won Man of the Match, but I forget which newspaper, but one of the newspapers said he had yet another nightmare performance. And then later it transpired that he'd won the Man of the Match award. Have you picked up any news on Saliba at all?
The first game he played all right. And that was it. I didn't really hear too much else other than that. It's difficult to believe what the newspaper's saying. I tend not to believe anything they say, really.
I mean, the only thing that I picked up that was negative was that I'd say inadvisable what he said. I'm trying to find a quotation, but there's a different quotation here. It says that he joined Nice to run the defence. He basically used the word boss as if he's like Bruce Springsteen and he's going to, you know, he's going to make a rock and roll band in Nice, which is quite a good place to be, actually, you know, musically or not non-musically. It's a pretty good place. I used to live down that way, that's why I can vouch for that. So I think it's a good place for him to be, other than he's not going to pick up any English being there, because it's basically, my French improved enormously during the time I was down there. So I think he already speaks French, so he doesn't really need to be there for that, does he? But how would you feel about a guy his age coming in and say he was, he used the word boss, he's going to go there and boss the French?
It's a combination of, is it arrogant or is it confidence sort of thing, isn't it, really? I don't know how bad Nice are doing. You know, if they're that, doing that, you know, they need someone like him to come in, that kind of speaks volumes itself, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I was, you know, to me, yeah, it's a double-edged sword, confidence, right? Because if it veers into overconfidence, it's certainly not a good thing. Talking of defenders, Mustafi sounds like he's staying put. Arteta said as much.
That nonsense about Barcelona. It was exactly that, wasn't it? It was absolute nonsense. It was just his agent trying to convince God knows who that Barcelona, of all people, wanted Mustafi. If you can't believe half of what you read in the papers, it's all bollocks, isn't it? It's all absolute horse. Like, I read somewhere that we'd offered Socrates to Liverpool. Which I can't believe for one second it's true. Do you honestly think Liverpool are going to take him on? You know, it's absolutely ludicrous.
Balogun is gone, though, it sounds like. Well, he's not gone yet. He'll stay till the end of the season. Balogun, who's he gone?
Yeah, Leipzig, I watched AFTV. I watched AFTV, and they had that Fabrizio Romano on. And he was saying, basically, that, you know, Balogun wants to stay, but he just wants game time.
Yeah.
And you kind of go, well, that's fair enough. But I don't know if he's going to get game time. You know, that's you know, it would be nice if he did, but whether that happens or not, it remains to be seen. So, yeah, it'd be sad if he goes. I can see it possibly being another Serge Gnabry or whatever his name was.
Yeah, I'll have to
wait and see.
Yeah, obviously, he's definitely going to be Gnabry part two. That's how I'm seeing it. As you can hear, it's going off. What was I going to say? I totally forgot. Oh, yeah, Matt Mason, before you go. I mean, I haven't really seen a lot of Matt Macey, but I have to say I wasn't happy to see that he's left the club. Not happy at all that he's joined Hibs. How do you feel?
Yeah, it's funny because obviously, he never played. Clearly, Arteta didn't rate him enough to give him any sort of game time. So, you know, I'm not sure. But then you look at the situation with keepers. You know, we're in an absolute shocking state for keepers, aren't we? Like, if Leno gets injured, we've got that.
That's why I'm advocating the cardboard cutout on the bench.
Might be a bit hasty, that. But we'll have to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, because
whether that comes to butting the arse.
I suspect it will. It seems to be a thing about goalkeepers. I remember back in Wenger's time, you know, he seemed to think it doesn't really matter who plays in goal, so he stuck Almunia in, who was, to me, not as disastrous as Henderson, but lots of people said this guy's not a proper goalkeeper. You know? But I'm not sure I'd go that far. I just thought he was average, that was all.
He was shocking. Lost us the final, if you remember back to the Champions League final, two goals in his near post. That was a sign of how bad he was. He was the epitome of Wenger averageness and the shocking signings that we had, or some of the players that we brought in. Yeah. He was awful.
It's really weird how people have different views about the importance of a goalkeeper, because that's the sort of thing I argue with my dad about, you know, because I always said to my dad, because I'm very defensive-minded, you know, when I played, I was up front most of the time. But I just thought it's so key. When you've got a goalkeeper you can trust, it makes you, if you're defending, it makes you feel confident when he calls for the ball, you'll knock it back to him and not worry about it. When you've got a terrible goalkeeper, it goes through the entire team. Because you just...
Yeah.
I don't know. Well,
Brian Clough used to say... Most expensive paid players on your team should be your goal scorer and your goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And it's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, they're the ones that stop goals and they're the ones that score goals. And that's what win games. For sure. Like, I hated having Almunia. I always thought he was rubbish. I always thought he was below average. And it annoyed me. how Wenger consistently kept faith with him. And I think he was the epitome of the Wenger decline, really. Yeah. When he came in, you know, we started to get worse. He was awful. He was awful. And, you know, I couldn't understand how anyone... Yeah, and we needed a world-class goalkeeper. If you're going to compete for trophies, you need a world-class goalkeeper. He was nowhere near world-class.
That's great.
He was so far off.
Right, Alex.
And it was...
All right. Well, gonna have to say adios to you at this stage, and I'll let the listeners join in and have their say after this. But yeah, just a quick cameo from Alex. So right, okay, see ya.
And so I'm back. I'm back live. It's sounding quite echoey in this room. New studio. What else can I say? Anyway, I can say a couple more things because there have been some developments since we recorded that. And these developments concern Arsenal transfer target Neto. This is on football365.com. Arsenal transfer target Neto wants to challenge Leno for a place in the starting lineup. Neto is a goalkeeper who may actually challenge Leno if he does join the Gunners, according to reports. Runison hasn't gone very well so far, has it? But apparently, according to the Express, not a newspaper that can be trusted with this sort of thing, Arsenal would need to guarantee Neto a shot at number one between the sticks if he were indeed to sign. He signed from Valencia, apparently, for €26 million. Anyway, looks like now he wants to move on. Obviously, it's going to be very, very hard to bring in a goalkeeper if he's going to cost that kind of money, at least. It's hard to imagine it happening. But it does seem that Arsenal will try indeed to sign a goalkeeper. So it could be Neto, which is a great name, isn't it, for a goalkeeper. Can't moan about his name, at least. Apparently, Mikel Arteta is really excited as Arsenal land their number one target. It's not really a transfer target, though. It's Richard Garlick. He would be involved in transfers. He's going to be the director of football operations. Perhaps he'll take some of the pressure off Arteta, because Arteta's been pretty busy working extremely hard. I think he's a touch like Wenger in that respect, in that he does seem to be a workaholic. So I want to say congratulations to Richard Garlick for his new appointment. Hope he does really well. There's also news, breaking news, I think it's on the BBC, that Ozil is going to go. I'll totally disbelieve that story until it actually happens. I can't believe that he's that close to joining. There's also a story that Arsenal are going to sign a Brentford player called Tony. Again, can't really see it happening. Ivan Tony could be on the way from Brentford to Arsenal, if you believe what you hear. Talking of Pablo Mari, which I wasn't, but I am now, Pablo Mari is out of action. There was also talk that if he plays, next time he plays a game, Arsenal have to send around about nearly £1 million to his previous club as part of the deal. But he won't be playing at the moment because he's got a calf injury, so he's going to miss a few games, hopefully not too many. He has been good, and he has been one of the positives. It's beginning to look a little bit better on the injury front because Gabby is back after COVID, so that's good news. And Thomas Partey, of course, is back looking for a place in the team. So I think I'm going to leave it there. Had a lot of technical problems, kept going. Everything sounds glitchy to me. Maybe it's just I've had some pretty awful experiences technically. As you can, even on the recording, some of the things happening were not what you'd expect. So until the next time, I want to say adios, amigos. Hope you managed to endure that just like I did.